Hello, everyone. This is Maurice Bassett, director of the Welt Warrior Movement. I'd like to welcome you to our call today with Steve Chandler. I'm pleased to say I've got Steve with me here today, and we're doing a webinar called Getting Out of Debt and Creating Wealth. So welcome, Steve.
Welcome to you. I'm really looking forward to talking to our special guest. And how cool would it be if we all got out of debt and created abundance? Starting today, that would be amazing. So, Maurice, how are you doing out there in Florida?
Wonderful. Fantastic. Thank you.
Well, thank you for all the health remedies you've been sending me. I'm using all of them now and feel a great deal of energy today, thanks to you.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah. So now from health, let's move to wealth. And I'd like to welcome our very special guest, Kameen Samuel. You know, it was my great pleasure about a week ago to have Kameen be one of our guest speakers at the Reinventing Yourself weekend. And I'm sure many of the members here in the Wealth Warrior group, many of the members were at that weekend and enjoyed hearing Kameen. And I'm really happy to have Kameen be on the show today. Now, I could go on and on about her background. I'll just say a little bit about it. One of the most fun and interesting things was that she is the United States Navy's first female African-American helicopter pilot. And I love that fact. I wish I had something like that. I remember, I guess it was Veterans Day. I was so proud of the picture posted of me in my uniform. And then all of a sudden, this amazing picture of Kameen standing by her helicopter. And I thought, oh, man, there's just no way I can go back and get something like that. But so I envy that. I want to admit that. And Kameen's a coach now. And she coaches people at all levels of wealth creation, from helping people get out of debt and just getting back to normal and back to a real strong, sound footing, to people at higher levels on the continuum creating greater wealth and abundance in their lives. And one of the things I like most about what Kameen does as a coach and a speaker and an author is the attention she pays to the beliefs people carry around that keep them from making money. And that's long been one of my secret little observations of myself and other people, that we have these thoughts and beliefs that stop us from really engaging with the world and making really good money, and limiting beliefs and negative beliefs and things like that. And Kameen really focuses on that when she works with people. So she's the author of a book called Increase Your Abundance Starting Today. And I love that too, because that's exactly her approach. If my mind can shift today, then abundance can start coming to me today. So Kameen, I could go on and on about what you do and your background and all of that, but I'd much more rather speak to you. So I hope you're here, and welcome if you are.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you for having me. It's such an honor to talk to you today.
Well, the honor is mutual. And it's such a great subject, especially for this group. We created this group when the book Wealth Warrior came out, because there was such a good response to that book that people were saying, well, okay, I've read the book, but what can I do now to keep this consciousness alive in my life and stay awake to it? So Maurice and I decided to create a worldwide membership where we would do a webinar every month on this, and we'd send three little email tips out a week on abundance and wealth creation. And we've been doing that for a couple of years now, a few years, and really had fun with it. So good to have you here. Let's just jump right in. I'd like to start by asking you, if, let's just say I was a client of yours and I was interested in creating more wealth in my life and wondering why I haven't been able to do that. What would be some of the things you'd look for in me? What would be some of the things you'd try to find out right off so that you could help me?
Well, that's a great question, Steve. You know, one of the things with my clients, I'm super attuned to language that people use.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that I do is really listen to how people talk about their circumstances. You know, people will say, you know, I'm really struggling. And they could be saying this about anything. I'm struggling, or, you know, it's really hard, or, you know, I'm always in debt. And I have an attunement to those particular words, primarily because my own debt was created with my thoughts and my words. So I can really listen, and I'm able to listen kind of underneath what people are saying to hear where that struggle is and to hear where those negative and limiting beliefs are that say that they can't have what they want, or, you know, they'll say, you know, it doesn't happen for me, or nothing good ever happens to me, or, you know, somebody else is, you know, at fault, you know, your victim owner model, and listening for any lack wording that is in any area of their life can really stop people and block them from receiving more wealth.
Well, I know you're a graduate of University of Santa Monica, and that's a 2-year master's program in spiritual psychology. So what role did that have in your work that you do now with people and money and wealth and things like that?
It was really instrumental because it gave me some tools to hear underneath. And I'm, again, attuned to people's language, which comes from my own experience. But one of the tools I use with my clients is something around healing of memories and really working with people. And where did the belief come in their childhood or in an earlier time in their life? You know, how did their parents or their guardians or anyone around them that may have said something negative to them that got inside of them? We generally pick that lack up from somewhere. And so digging in and really listening, and I can attune to sometimes it's an age or, you know, something that may have happened to them at an earlier age that says, you know, they got a belief that it was something of a paradox. Many times clients will, my female clients will have a love or money belief that got in there somehow. I had a client, a really wonderful story of a client who I was having lunch with her, and we were working on a long private session, and it was that particular time we were specifically working on her beliefs, and she was saying, well, you know, I don't think I can manifest a maid, and, you know, I really want to do well in my career, and I had this vision of her, of a little girl standing in the doorway. And I said, you know, I told her what I was seeing. And once I was a stark, scorched earth desert. And then on the other side was this lush home, but it was dark. And I said, and I shared that with her. She said, oh my gosh, that was my childhood. And she grew up in another country. And she was saying that the stark but sunny area was her life. She grew up poor, but there was a lot of love in her home. The other was her best friend who had a beautiful home but no love. And so I work with my clients to make that an and. You can have love and money. You can have money and happiness. And so I look for the paradoxes in people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And I relate that to my own history. I remember when I was really little, when we didn't have so much money, the family was really happy. And then the more money my father made and the more successful, the more unhappy the marriage got. And so I know that subconsciously I just started to conclude that the more money that comes in, the more unhappy people get, and that the money is causing that.
Right.
And it's often true that a lot of money comes in and people become unhappy, but the money isn't the cause. The people, with my clients, people were expecting money to do something that it couldn't do. So money can do a lot, but sometimes do you find that people expect it to do more than what it can do?
Yes, they want it to make them happy or all be happy when. And so it puts it off into the future. And, a lot of wealth and getting out of debt is an inside job. And it's what we believe about how happy we can be, what we believe about what we can receive, what we believe about what money can do for us. And, a lot of people have money is the root of all evil. They grew up with that.
Yeah.
And it's really the love of money, and I really do, I like money a lot. I like what money can do for me. But it's the greed for one's own, for themselves, if that can really be destructive. But enjoying what money can do is a fabulous, it's fabulous, whether it's paying for education or paying for their children's education or, paying for vacations where you feel wealthful, you feel alive, you feel connected to flow. That's where really getting into the feeling of money really attracts more and can really set up a flow and connect one to the flow of abundance in their life.
Yeah. And I love the work you do because there's so much misery out there with people around money and so much frustration. And I do know that so many of us pick up our parents' fears around money. We just pick that up when we're growing up. So what would you say to parents if you were in a room full of parents and they didn't want their children to have fears around money? They wanted their children to be self-confident and feel freedom around money. What would you say, what can parents do to have that be more likely to happen, create more of a sense at home that money's not scary?
Oh, that's such a great question. I think one of the things is to understand that money is just energy. It's just an exchange for work, exchange for value, it's exchange for what are you doing in the world. Back in the day, it was chickens and goats, and when we had to find a common way of exchanging things. And so it's just energy. We decide put a value as to whether it's good or bad, but the truth is it's neutral. And so to teach children, one, that it's energy, and it's you do something and you can expect to get paid in a good way, in an expectant way, that there is a value to what you do. Because I also work with a lot of women who don't now have a belief about their own value in what they do. So teaching children that there is a value in what they do and what they create in the world. Also teaching them that money isn't scary. I picked up from my father, don't open the bills if they get to be too many of them.
That
was not helpful when I was going through the bankruptcy, not to look at the bills. I had to have the courage, but I had a lot of attachment to what it meant about me. And that's the other thing, is to teach children to separate the value of money from the value of them as human beings and what they do in the world and who they are and their character, so that they can really have that self-confidence and belief in themselves for who they are, separate from the money.
Mm-hmm.
I talk a lot about What for me, self-esteem is having the highest regard for myself. So we can have regard for others, but it's, you know, do I hold myself in high esteem? And that is separate from money.
Yeah.
And so to really teach children that first is would be extraordinary.
Now, you mentioned, you just dropped the word bankruptcy. It didn't slip past me, so because I relate to it. I had one of those myself, and, you know, I always had, in my life, I always had a problem, or thought I had a problem growing up with fear, and I wrote a book about that called Fearless, and I always thought I was too much of a coward to really amount to anything. And somehow I had that story going on. And when I went bankrupt, I don't think I've ever told you this, Kameen, and this might be a story you can use. When I went bankrupt myself many years ago, my bankruptcy lawyer was the son of the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz. You know, the Cowardly Lion, some people might know, was Bert Lahr. And my bankruptcy lawyer was his son in Tucson, Arizona. So I thought that was poetic justice for me. And anyway, so talk about, enough about me. Now talk about, you've come back so strong and so gracefully and so beautifully from bankruptcy. And so, and that, I think that just helps people relate to you even faster when you coach them, because it's not like you've had a silver spoon and you're a trust fund baby and you've always had it made. Talk a little bit about that and your own bankruptcy and what you went through emotionally at that stage, and then how did you come back?
Well, my, you know, going back to your original, your question just a moment ago about to teach parents is to watch the language that you use around your children, because the thing that I heard as a child and as a teenager from my parents was never file bankruptcy.
Wow.
And they didn't tell me why. They just said never file bankruptcy. And that's pretty much the only thing other than the phrase rob Peter to pay Paul were the only things that I heard around money. And so I somehow equated that to, you know, inside of me, well, I have to file bankruptcy at some point. And when I was getting out of the military and I was expecting a large amount of money because I had 60 days of vacation time on the books, but I also owed because they had paid me to stay in. But they took that 60 days and that's what I was going to live on for the next 3 to 4, 5 months. And I remember them when I saw that I only got a small amount of money that day when I was checking out of the Navy, I said out loud, I'm going to have to file bankruptcy. I needed that money. And I don't remember having that thought before, but it popped out. And then for 14 months, I just ruminated on that, and it paralyzed me.
Mm-hmm.
And so my emotional state during that whole time was, I can lovingly say it was pretty, you know, pretty challenging. I was, you know, it didn't go through it gracefully, let's put it that way. I cried all the time. I was alone. I didn't share with anybody because I had a shame attached to it.
Yeah.
And I really had to work over the years to regain it. And one of the things that I, as a principal tool that I use in my private practice is the wealth exercise. And that is really, it's from the book, Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Dr. Joseph Murphy. And I took this little passage on it, and it's just using the word wealth over and over again in your mind, and what would it feel like? And so for me, and the first time I read the book, I think it was 1998, and I was broke, and I owed the taxes. I had a foreclosure on two homes. It was, to have $50 at the end of the month was as much as I could believe for.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did the wealth exercise in the morning, when I'd wake up, it would be, you know, wealth inside. And I'd say, well, what would it feel like to have $50 at the end of the month? And then I get into that feeling. It would feel great. And this is after all my bills were paid and every, you know, at least the minimums on all my credit, you know, anything that I owed. And it would just be that feeling of, okay, well, what would it feel like? Well, have it feel like relief. It would feel great. And then once I got to, then it manifested. And that's why I say it's an inside job. And then $100 at the end of the month, what would that feel like? And then $500 and then $1,000. And then I just used that even in my, when I got into corporate, I ended up with, you know, using that same exercise to get promotions. And then later I use it to, you know, manifest enough to have 10 months in emergency fund in my account. So I really worked on it vibrationally. And that's really what the wealth exercise is raising your vibration to believe that it's possible to get out of debt, to pay off your debts, to have more and have extra. And you get a lot of, you can get a lot of inspired actions that come when you're doing that exercise.
Yes. And, you know, I want, this is something that, that I think is so important to address right here, because it came up in the Reinventing Yourself weekend. And what I love about what you teach, what you did with yourself, and I know you and I know each other well, and I know so many of your clients have received just real turnarounds in their lives and in their money world from working with you. And sometimes people think, well, she's like the secret. It's like you just picture it, you get the vibration, or she's like the law of attraction. She's channeling Abraham and all that in this magical thinking. In reality, this is the most practical thinking in the world, because what you're really doing is you're just by saying the word wealth, seeing the possibility for it, feeling differently about it, having your mood be different when it comes to making money. That's so practical. That opens people up to possibility and opportunity that they weren't seeing before when they were pessimistic and they had all these negative beliefs. And you, with your wealth exercise that you use, you're addressing that immediately and allowing people to actually open their minds and actually be more realistic, not less. More opportunistic in a good way, with a much more open mind about I can make money than before. So I see it as the most practical thing in the world, what you do with people. And there were some people in the room who thought, well, isn't this woo-woo magical thinking? But I don't see it that way at all. Well, what do you think about it?
Well, and I don't see it that way either, because one, I know it works because it works for myself and my clients. And mm-hmm. One of my clients even has, she created, took that a step further, which was using the word wealth almost like a DNA string in her system that was changing what her beliefs were. You know,
yes.
It's like we're not saying I am wealthy. We're just saying the word wealth and what would it feel like. And it is about changing your vibration, you know, and one of the things that kind of snuck in there at the end is there is action that comes from that.
Yes, exactly.
And it is about taking action and inspired action about, if I'm saying the word wealth and I'm thinking about getting promoted, as I did a lot in my corporate career, I would have these ideas. Well, what would I do differently on my report that I'm turning in, or how would I communicate differently? If I'm really in that zone of where I'm moving towards, what is the action that I would take next? And so where my clients, I have a client who's a studio owner, and her, when she first came to me, she couldn't barely afford me and my services. And now her business has grown 300, or actually over 300% in the 2 years that we've been working together. And it's from all of these inspired actions that have happened when she's been, not even when she's, you know, she does her wealth exercise, but it's throughout the day inspired actions now come to her. And she's like, okay, I think I want to put this program together. And we're clearing out the beliefs also of anything that stands in the way. And I listen to her language and all of my clients' language that say, oh, well, I don't know how that's going to happen. I'm like, okay. And they're like, oh, sorry about that. Let me rephrase that. Up until now, I couldn't see how that might happen. And then we kind of paint a picture of what it might look like. And they'll text me, you know, how did you know that would happen? Well, because it's kind of, it's possible. It's
yes.
All of it's possible if we believe.
Yes. And, you know, and the work you do in, when you look at other fields that verify this and validate this, such as the work Dr. Martin Seligman has done, and he calls it learned optimism, that you can actually, most people think optimism and pessimism are based on circumstances that you're facing and your past history. But what he's discovered is it's based on how you work with your own mind. And that you can work with your own mind to alter the way you perceive your opportunities and make it just much more optimistic, much more open. And like you say, raise the vibration. Put, other people would say, put yourself in a better mood around money. And people, I used to, when I trained sales teams, I noticed that the happier, higher vibrating people would always sell more. People with more spirit, the people with more lightheartedness. And a lot of people think, well, I'd be lighthearted too if I was selling more and making all that commission. But it's the other way around. They find that in their minds first. And then when they go into the world, they see much more. You know, an optimist sees more opportunity in front of him or her than a pessimist. A pessimist just shuts down, gets real narrow and constricted. So I love the work you do, and I know it gets results, so there's no arguing with the results you get. And so talk a little bit more about what you do when you sit down with a client and work with her or him.
You know, it goes back to language, you know, and because I'm so attuned to language.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, when I met my husband initially, he was in debt. He was in extreme amount of debt in his business, and he was facing bankruptcy. And so I really worked with him on his language.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it that he's saying, and what is he thinking? And so that learned optimism is not kind of woo-woo. It's not airy-fairy. It's real. It's a real thing about what we focus on expands.
Yes.
So to you know, it's kind of almost like going into somebody's mind when I'm working with a client as they're talking, and they'll say something like, you know, oh, you know, everybody else gets raises or makes more money. And I'm like, well, okay, let's work on that belief. Where did that belief come from that you can't be one of the everybody? Or I had a client who came to me. I have clients who are business clients and those who are in corporate careers, and then I have clients who are often what I call life transformation. And, you know, they're just looking for, like, many of them are in the kind of over 55 category. I have a couple in the younger category, but they're really looking to find their voice finally. And
yes.
One woman in particular, she came to me and she's like, you know, I really want to work with high functioning individuals, and you know, but I don't really, you know, I kind of hide. And she wasn't using hiding, saying that she was hiding. She was just saying, you know, I just don't participate in meetings as much. And I kept asking her questions, and I asked her about her hiding, and she's like, well, you know, I just, you know, I'm not that smart. I'm not as smart as they are. And I'm like, okay, well, let's work on that belief, because
yeah.
I knew from how she worked with me, she was extremely brilliant. But because of some beliefs that had gotten in there from her mother specifically, who had an undiagnosed bipolar when she was young, it really was difficult for her to see herself from somebody else's light. And so I am there to shine a light on who they really are in the world. And if people really understood how powerful they were, they could stand up more. And now this person is is a leader in her organization. She is really showcasing and shining in new and expansive ways, and more high-functioning people are coming to her because she can see herself as a high-functioning person. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing how much of an inside job it really is, and how much we keep cursing circumstance and running around trying to fight with circumstance, when if we would just slow down and sit down and really take a look on the inside, and that so often happens with a coach. I mean, I know it did with me. I wasn't going to sit down by myself and do this work because I didn't know how to do it or what to do. But when I met my coach years and years ago, he sat down with me and we just started to look at what are your thoughts? What are you believing about life that's holding you back so much? And so I'm glad you do that work. Now, you had mentioned in an email that you had a gift for our listeners. Can you talk about that?
Yes, I do. And if they go to KaminSamuel.com/Steve, they will get to the area for clearing your blocks to your success. And it's a video and a PDF and some other PDFs and the wealth exercises written out in there. And I wanted to give that to him because so much of what I do is about clearing the beliefs. And it's a video I had done from a program called Receiving God's Paycheck. So it has a little bit of spiritual basis, but it's not about that. It's not a religious or anything like that. But it's really about connectivity to the universe. You know, I talked about the wealth exercise. The part of getting out of debt is also the intention of getting out of debt. My husband, when I talked about him, he set an intention to get out of debt, and now his business is thriving, and he's almost completely out of debt. And we're talking like over $700,000 of debt when I met him 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so to be completely out of debt came from intention. When I mentioned the client who is now had 300% increase in her business, that was, she'll say, well, I suddenly, you know, she started off at $6,000 a month in her business, and now she's at over $18,000 with some peaks in the 20s. And the first time it happened, she's like, I don't know how that happened. I said, oh, do you remember back in April we set the intention for you to do that? And she's like, oh, yeah, we set the intention. Okay, what's the next intention?
Yeah.
So we move up the chain with intention, and from that intention comes the inspired action. And so, you know, all of that is, you know, the clearing the blocks, and again, looking at what beliefs do you have that is keeping you from moving forward? What are you saying? What are you thinking over and over again that stop you from moving forward?
And I love that. And thank you so much for making that available to everybody listening to this program. It's just really great of you. And it allows them to really start doing something right now about whatever situation. And they don't have to really be in debt. They can just be in a position that they somehow know is less than what they really could be as far as their own money making and their own wealth.
Right.
And you work with people who are doing well as well.
Yes, because somebody can be in $5,000 worth of debt or $500,000 or more worth of debt and find that, or not in debt, but they want to move to the next level.
Yeah.
Like with my life transformation clients, where they are just, again, they have been successful in their lives, but now they want to go to the next level of success or finding their voice or finding their calling at a new level. And how do they operate in the world? But something is blocking them. Something is stopping them from moving forward. And working with me, I'm able to help them see their lives in a completely different perspective.
Yeah, that's so great.
It's fun.
And they see so many different new possibilities and opportunities when they change their perception.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And it really is almost, it is so much of the work that you do in kind of reinventing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because once they can conceive of their life without that block, without that belief that has been in the background, you know, we're just really children who have grown up. And so we have all these beliefs and thoughts that came in at such a young age that we don't know that are running us.
Yes.
And so
right.
Being able to have someone hear them and working with a coach or working in whatever capacity to understand what those beliefs are, because most of the people, when I mention what they've just said, they didn't even hear it.
Yeah.
It's so subtle inside of them. They won't even hear the words that are stopping them.
Yes. They don't hear what they're saying and thinking.
Right.
All day long.
Right.
Well,
it's amazing.
You know, this has gone by way too fast, and that always happens when we have a really wonderful guest with so much wisdom and so much to help us with. And I just want to thank you for coming on and sharing your work with everybody the way you do. It's just really great. Also,
thank
for your
you.
For your being at Reinventing Yourself Weekend, it. You know, my children were there, and it just made a huge impact on them. I was talking to Stephanie the other day, and how she's an accountant and a CFO at a small company, and so she's always loved numbers and things, but she was so moved by your talk that it just made a big difference in her life. So I want to thank you for all you do.
Thank you,
and
I wanted to paint a picture real quickly for your listeners, I have this amazing view. I'm in Maui.
So,
you know, from
envy. Tap into envy.
Yet.
You know, you can convert envy into something positive.
I just want them to know it's possible when they get out of debt to have a vision of where they want to be in their life.
Yeah. If she can do it, we can do it.
And if I can do it, anybody can do it. Trust
yeah,
me.
Good.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. So, Maurice, please come back on the line, and we'll say goodbye to everyone. Thank you so much, Kameen.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, everyone, for being here.